save the earth.
Three divas.
With style and mirth.
Three divas.
Got your every need.
Three divas.
To keep you healthy and green.
Three divas.
They got green dudes too.
Three divas.
With more green news.
You got to believe us. Listen to the Green Divas.
Green Divas Radio Show.
All right. Yes. Another. I know. I'm so excited. Another Green Divas radio show with Green Diva Meg.
And Green Diva Lynn.
Yeah. Representing Chicagoland, center of the country.
Midwest.
The Midwest. Yeah, there you go. I like it.
Living in the Midwest.
I'll tell you, we had such a global show today.
I know.
You know, I got a chance to talk to Elena Christopoulos.
Mm-hmm.
Who, and we decided she's like her own UN. You know what I mean? Like,
she's doing all sorts of wonderful things.
She's all over the planet. She's Greek and German, and she said just going to her family's was like a UN meeting. I said, honey, you're like the UN all by yourself. And she is so amazing and inspiring. And we talked she's speaking this week at for the Human Rights Day, International Human Rights Day.
Mm-hmm.
So it seemed to be a theme.
Right.
Because we got to talk to Gary Dietrichs about eco travel. Our
green travel guides.
Yeah. So he talked about there's some ethical travel awards thing where they list the top 10 places to go in the world. And, you know, one of their main criteria is human rights. So there you go.
Fantastic.
Right?
We need to check those travel destinations off our list, get to those places.
Well, I just want to tell you that one of them, and I'll only mention one, is a little island called Mauritius. Mauritius? I don't know if I'm saying it right, but it's the one where our radio jar people come from.
Really?
Right?
Oh, okay.
Isn't that cool?
That is cool. Well, we need to visit them.
The other one that gets mentioned, not only by, hello, not
only by,
I know, right? I'm having like a small aneurysm, don't mind me. Gary, in the Eco Travels, Lithuania, which was like, wow, he had some stunning statistics about Lithuania, which is a very, very eco-friendly, you know.
Oh, I never would have thought that.
No. But then Elena brought it up, and I'm like, so that's two times in one show that Lithuania gets, like, really cool, you know. So that's on our list.
Very cool.
Anyway.
We need to have some funds come in for that.
Yeah. And then we talked to Robert Silber, who is the head of the Institute for Conscious Sensuality.
It's always good to be conscious when you're being sensual.
I think so. Consensual. Oh, ha, ha. Isn't that bad?
Oh.
Right? I don't know.
Pretty funny.
I know. But he's really an interesting cat. And you and I did not know till I talked to him that he's actually in Hawaii, a mile away from...
We could have met him when we were there.
No, he was in Europe at the time.
Oh, well. Okay.
But he's a mile away from Kalani. I'm like, wow.
Next time.
Yeah. So we have a really interesting eco-sexy segment with a dude.
Right.
With a dude.
Yeah, that's the first dude.
I know. It's a first. It's a first. Yeah. He was a eco-sexy virgin. No, he's not. At least for the Green Divas segment. Okay.
Oh my God.
Okay, let's just say that.
Why does it always go there?
I hope he has a sense of humor. I think he does. And then, of course, while we're laughing, let's like throw a wet blanket and talk about...
Well, it's good to save the worst for last.
Yeah, right? It's not the worst.
The coal ash problem.
Yeah. Yeah, Lynn did a really nice Green Divas My Earth 360 report about...
With your help, of course.
Duke Energy, man. What? WTF.
It's a WTF times like...
Yeah.
To the nth degree. The
oh my God. So we have like 30 seconds left before this amazing show launches. So let's mention our fabulous, really important buygreen.com sponsor who, and this is the time of year you want to go. If you can't like, you know, make it yourself.
Right.
We recommend and get it local if you can, but really if you get it green, you want to go to buygreen.com.
Or thegreendivas.com. slash marketplace.
There you go.
They're right there.
And they're right at the top.
And that helps us keep the lights on over here.
Yeah. So we got to go. Also check out fundgdgd.com. Just
yes,
go
please.
There. You'll learn all about it. Okay, people, stay tuned. Rockin' show coming. Overwhelmed by environmental news? Listen to the Green Diva's My Earth 360 report for the latest eco-news bits from around the globe, carefully curated and borne by our need to say, WTF! But we also love to share encouraging stories and, of course, ways that you can make your voice count for the Earth. It's not just my Earth, it's our Earth, and together we can make a difference. This segment is sponsored by TerraPass. Clear the air with carbon offsets at TerraPass.com. Whoop, whoop, yeah. Here we are, back with our favorite Green Diva, Lynn Hasselberger.
Oh, I thank you for saying that.
Talking, well, you are.
And you're my favorite.
Yay. We're gushing. We love each other.
Oh, yes.
Anyway, you know, she is really all about what's the latest in environmental news. She's got her finger on the pulse. So what? Well, actually, I know what we're going to talk about because I saw this segment on Sunday.
Yeah, you saw it first.
I saw it, which is unusual. I just want to say that you're usually a little ahead of the curve, ahead of the road there for me. But I saw this interview on 60 Minutes about Duke Energy and this coal ash slurry mess.
And I was like, what we had talked about, I think it was back in February.
Yeah. And I was like, hey, man, we scooped that story. No.
That's right.
But what?
But and it goes a little deeper or a lot deeper than what we
it
knew
does.
About back then.
Yeah. And so I let Lynn know about it because I knew she would dig in and understand this and be able to tell us about it. Because I kind of didn't see the entire segment. So you let it rip, girl.
Oh, okay. Well, back in, well, I didn't know that's how you were going to handle it.
All right, you want me to try to do a synopsis? All I know is they were talking about synopsis. I can say that. They were talking about how, and I thought this
over?
Was good news. No, I'm going to keep going. The good news is that there are coal plants closing all over North Carolina, right?
Right.
And we know that from our Beyond Coal people, you know, Anna Jane Joyner and Marianne Head. And we're like, yay. But what's happening is places like the ones owned by Duke Energy, they're like, okay, we'll shut down. And they're leaving.
Oh, yeah. They just leave these coal ash pits behind.
Yeah. It's like it's horrendous.
Like, oh, well, there you go. We'll just leave it there. And they're not lined.
Yeah. No, they're apparently extremely toxic, filled with all kinds of heavy metals, mercury, arsenic, and all kinds of things mm-hmm. that are leaching, obviously. And most of these things, it turns out, are near water. Like
and some are actually in the backyard. They had an image of kids jumping on their trampoline, and there's a coal ash pit right in their backyard.
You know, so they had some plan to, like, cap it off, but that still doesn't stop it from leaching underneath. But the weirdest thing that really disturbed me the most, and it's not really weird, it's just upsetting, is that the EPA is sort of, like, letting them just stall on all this, just leaving it there.
Mm-hmm.
What did you gather from that?
Well, I happened to read an interesting article this weekend in the Times, and they had done an investigation on...
When you say the Times, do you mean the New York Times?
I do mean the New York Times.
Even though you're in Chicago, see?
I read the New York Times. It's printed in Chicago. That's
yeah,
how
I
they
know.
Get it here, but,
I know. We do, too.
Just a few things going on with the EPA. In one case, the attorneys general around the nation, they're getting really cozy with these energy companies. So... Mm. One example of that, this is not specific to coal ash, but, you know, certainly can be related. There was a letter that was presented to the EPA in 2001 by one of these attorney generals in Oklahoma, and it accused regulators of grossly overestimating the amount of air pollution caused by energy companies drilling, specifically energy companies that are drilling new natural gas wells in his state.
Hmm.
Well, it was recently discovered that the three-page letter was actually written by the lawyers for Devon Energy, which happens to be one of Oklahoma's biggest oil and gas companies.
Uh-huh.
So he was just the conduit. They changed only a few words before delivering it to the EPA. So that was just kind of the tip of the iceberg, because there's this alliance that's been formed between Republican attorneys general and the nation's top energy producers, and they're working to push back against Obama's regulatory agenda.
Oh, lest anybody think that the EPA is actually working on our behalf.
Well, exactly. And the other thing that came out, I think just yesterday, was that there's a scientist that has deep industry ties with the chemical industry that's being considered for a key EPA job.
It's
an EPA department or whatever called Integrated Risk Information System. That department determines which chemicals can make people sick and in what doses. So here he is, with deep ties to the chemical industry, being considered for this position. And this particular department was, back in 2008, the Government Accountability Office reported that Integrated Risk Information System, otherwise known as IRIS, that their database of toxic chemicals was updated so infrequently that it was in danger of becoming obsolete. So, you know, these are just kind of the things that happen.
And isn't there a statistic that, you know, I mean, I think there's something like 80,000 chemicals that we as just consumers, you know, bump along in our daily lives.
And, right, only like a couple hundred of them have
and
ever been
only
tasted,
like 200 to 300.
Not tasted. Maybe they've been tasted, but tested for safety.
Right. So, and there's an awful lot out there that we don't know and that we're still bumping up against. So
So this coal ash thing, it just kind of it underscores some of the things that are going on. The EPA is supposed to be the government. It's supposed to be, you know, protecting its people. The EPA is supposed to be protecting us, protecting our air, our water.
And the environment.
All of these things. The
Not
environment.
Happening.
That's
Not
why
happening.
They're, you know, the EPA. And it's kind of like this revolving door that happens.
So it's not really the Environmental Protection Agency. It's more like the Enterprise Protection Agency, right? You know, corporate.
Well, it seems like that.
That's
definitely
what it feels like,
Right.
Don't want to just.
It's corporate interests taking the front seat.
Yeah.
But the one thing that really blew my mind about the coal ash situation in North Carolina is that Duke Energy has 100 million tons of coal ash in, there's like 32 ponds just sitting there in North Carolina alone.
Yeah.
And they're not sure what they're going to do with it yet.
No, and there was that lovely woman there with the big
eyes. Oh, yeah, she was smiling the whole time,
with
the CEO.
How about the eyes, the big eyes, you know what I mean? And
yes.
She was like, well, this is one of our top priorities. I'm like, really? Because it's just sitting there while we're trying to, you know, discover the best, most responsible way to handle it. And I'm like, responsible? Line those suckers, stop it from leaching into the environment and deal with it.
Yeah, exactly. No. So I will be posting an action item about coal ash, maybe something else also just specific to
EPA,
urging the EPA to do their job or something. I don't know. I'll find something.
Urging the EPA to actually protect the environment?
Yeah, that would be nice, right?
Just saying.
In better news.
Okay.
The Lima, Peru climate talks are going on right now.
Ah.
And John Perry, not Perry, Kerry, why did I say Perry? I don't know. but he plans to attend on Thursday. And he's going there to strongly urge negotiators to reach a deal. He's made climate change a priority.
Yeah, he has.
He spent months helping negotiate that U.S. and China agreement to cut carbon emissions, the one that was announced in November. And the U.S. and China are two biggest polluters in the world.
Yeah.
You know, whether or not that leads to actual change, we shall see. But there's hope that this because those two biggest polluters in the world, world leaders, came to that agreement, there's hope that a global climate deal will become a reality. So we'll see.
Oh, good.
It's a step in the right direction as opposed to whatever year that was that the U.S. didn't even show up to these climate talks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right, good. All right, so that's a little good news. All right, well, let's wrap this one up because we got more cool stuff coming up in this show. Thanks, Lynn.
Hey, have a great day.
This segment has been sponsored by TerraPass. Remember to get your carbon offsets at TerraPass.com. Get all the details from this Green Divas My Earth 360 report and lots more on TheGreenDivas.com. That's T-H-E, GreenDivas.com and MyEarth360.com. Where are you headed on your next trip? Have you considered the environmental impact of your adventure? Listen to the Travelin' Green Divas to get tips for healthy, safe, and eco-friendly travels. Oh, I am so happy to be talking again to our favorite green traveler dude, Gary Dietrichs, from GreenTravelerGuides.com. Hey, Gary.
Hey, Meg. How are you?
I'm good. It's been a while. We haven't talked to you since we went on our adventure to Hawaii.
That's right. I haven't heard all the deets yet. I look forward to that.
I know. And I think we were going to give you a fun article for your website.
I think it's coming.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. Yeah. Well, we're trying to catch up. And you have a really interesting topic today.
Yeah. There's a wonderful organization out here in my part of the world in Northern California called the Ethical Traveler. It's a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization. And the main thing they do every year they announce the world's 10 best ethical destinations.
I like that.
Travelers to go to for the following year. And
okay.
It's quite a process. They start with 175. These are all developing nations they're looking at.
Wow.
175 nations they start, and they have like 30 researchers around the world, all volunteers.
Wow.
But they work very diligently to winnow that list down to 25, and then 15, then 12, and then finally they come up with their final 10. And their whole premise here is that we can all have enormous personal influence when we travel.
Right.
And they urge us to what they call vote with your wings.
Nice.
Another word for it is ambassadorial travel, which I kind of like.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. So all of these nations that they're looking at, they're looking for the ones that are doing the most impressive job of promoting human rights, preserving the environment, and supporting social welfare.
Okay.
And along the way, have some really great things to do as a visitor.
That's always a bonus.
Always a bonus, yes. So anyway, it was a fun night, and interestingly, 7 of the 10 countries that they announced last night are island nations.
Huh.
Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting.
And
so,
I can give you a quick rundown if you'd like.
Yeah, please.
Okay. Well, the first one is one that probably most of us, including myself, haven't heard much about or even heard of. It's a little country island nation off the coast of Senegal in West Africa called Cabo Verde.
Huh. Green something.
Yeah, green Cabo.
I'm like, what does Cabo mean? I don't know.
I forget, actually. But this is a former Portuguese colony, and they are known as a major nesting area for loggerhead turtles, so that's one really good reason to visit there. They have great music, supposedly,
uh-huh.
we were told, and they're also doing a lot of really good green things, so, and socially responsible things. So that was the first one.
I like it.
The second one is the country of Chile.
Really?
Yeah.
How cool.
They have a president down there who's doing some marvelous things for human rights, for the rights of women, for the rights of the indigenous population. And, of course, Chile has all kinds of attractions for visitors, everything from they have a population of 120,000 penguins in the south of the country.
It's funny. Patagonia. Like, you just don't think of penguins in Chile.
No, you don't. But they're there. And they also have the driest desert on Earth in the northern part of their country.
See,
so it's a very diverse country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never would have thought of that either.
Yeah, exactly. And the next one is an island in the Caribbean that maybe most of us aren't aware of, called Dominica.
Uh-huh.
Have you heard of that one?
No.
Well, it's a great place. One of the things they say is they have a river for every day of the year.
Wow.
It's a very lush green in the nature sense and in the environmentally friendly sense. It's they like to say that it's almost untouched since the day that Columbus arrived. I mean, it's a totally almost unspoiled island.
Nice.
And again, they've done a lot of things for their population to ensure individual human rights, including protecting the rights of gays, lesbians, transsexuals, and folks of that nature, because that's not always the case in the Caribbean. It's a little dicey down there. But they're very big on human rights.
Wow. Well, that is great to know about.
Yeah, so it sounds like a really cool place to visit. The next one is, we're back in Europe, in Lithuania.
Really?
A former Soviet state.
Yeah.
One of the Soviet republics. And they've gone crazy since they've regained their independence. They have now the EU goal for renewable energy is 23% by the year 2020.
Wow.
So they're at 22% already.
Oh, that is impressive. Come on. Yeah. Let's catch up to Lithuania.
Yeah, really, no kidding. And they have a lot of, you know, a lot of they have old medieval cities and lots of nature to look at, and they're very friendly people by all accounts.
All right.
So that's another one to put on your bucket list.
Yeah.
The next one is another island, the island of Mauritius.
Yes, I actually know this one.
Ah.
Yeah.
Well, as you know, it's off of East Africa.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And it's got terrific biodiversity. They have 300 species of flowering plants, for example.
And that's an island nation also, correct?
It is indeed.
And I think Mark Twain had a fabulous quote about it, and I can't remember what it is at the moment. But
it was something to the extent of, first God made Mauritius, then he made heaven.
Something, yes, it is something like that. And the only reason I know all about this, and I just have to drop it in because it's relevant, is the platform that we're now, you know, for people who don't know, GDGD Radio Network is live and streaming 24/7 thanks to Radio Jar, which is a, you know, radio streaming platform for folks like us. And they are based in the island of Mauritius.
No kidding.
And so there's a wonderful guy there who's been helping me, and, you know, we get on Skype, and there he is. It's like a ridiculous time change. You know, I don't even know what day it is over there. But he describes this place like paradise.
Well, it certainly sounds like it. And here's another one, the island of Palau.
Okay.
In the South Pacific. They have something called the Jellyfish Lakes. They have five lakes. They have lots of lakes there, but five of them are the jellyfish lakes, and they are just teeming with stingless jellyfish, and you can go swim with them.
Oh, really?
I heard it described like that last night, like swimming in a bowl full of jello.
Yeah, exactly. That would be so cool. Wow.
Isn't that great?
Oh, that is magical. Have you been to any of these places yet, Gary?
Not so far.
Oh, well, I guess they're on the list.
I went to Dominica once, but didn't quite make it there. But the other thing interesting about Palau is that they're a matrilineal society. So as you know, they put the women in charge, so you can bet it's a good country.
Yeah, they got it going on, man.
They got it going. They were the first country in that region to ban shark fin farm fishing, for example, and industrial fishing. They're doing lots of things right. So go see Palau if you can.
Well,
and while you're
go ahead. No, well,
and
we got
while you're in the area.
Mm-hmm.
There are some other South Pacific nations that were recognized as well. The island countries of Samoa, Tonga, and Vanuatu. All three were named last night.
Well, I'm hoping that you will share a post with us on the Green Divas. But in the meantime, I do want people to check out, because Gary's got a lot going on over on Green Traveler Guides. We got to shut this particular segment off, which I just want to hear more and more because I'm fascinated. But I know that you'll share more with us. And
I sure will. I just want to mention that number 10 is Paraguay. So let's not.
Oh, I didn't realize we had even gotten that far. So, well, let's not, you know. Yeah, definitely. Wow. Uruguay. Another one.
Yeah. Another one. 80% renewable energy there.
Oh, come on.
That's right.
Well, shout out to all these places for, you know, caring for the earth and for human life and doing such amazing things. And I hope we don't trample them in you know, all running there to go check it out.
Well, let's travel lightly, shall
exactly.
we? Exactly. Let's definitely support them, and if we possibly can. And they're wonderful places to visit.
Oh, thank you so much, Gary. I look forward to talking to you soon.
You bet. Take care.
Whether you're off to a tropical getaway or traveling for business, make sure to check the Traveling Green Divas on thegreendivas.com for more tips and ideas for healthy, safe, and eco-friendly adventures. Being green can be so sexy. Well, at least you can be sexy and keep it green. Check out the Green Divas Eco Sexy Podcast for ways to keep it green in the bedroom or wherever you like to have sex.
Oh, this is going to be special. You know, normally we do these wonderful Green Divas Eco Sexy segments and we have fabulous women we talk to, but today we have a green dude, Robert Silber, who's the founder of the Institute of Conscious Sensuality. He's an author. He's also part of a upcoming book. He's the Eco-Sex Anthology. He's a permaculturist. He's got many, many hats. But we're talking today about conscious sexuality. Hi, Robert.
Hey, how are you doing there, Megan?
I'm wonderful, but we also just discovered before the segment that you live in one of our new favorite places on the planet, Puna, Hawaii, on the Big Island.
Yeah, I've been blessed to be based here for the last 10 years. I feel very grateful. It's a very beautiful place to live.
Well, yeah, and I will just testify to that when it's not 110 degrees, but because it was a little hot when we were there in August.
Oh, really? Yeah, I mean, it may seem that way. The temperature typically here doesn't get over 90, and it typically doesn't go below about 60 or 65.
It's doable.
At night in the winter, yeah.
They were having the record, and I think you said you were away, record-breaking heat. It was like living in a sauna.
Oh, I heard about that. I was in teaching in Europe, and sorry about that. It also is getting hot here with the volcano right now.
It's ready to
flow all the way through to the ocean in our area.
So it is. Great. So it's not, is it running through your backyard yet?
No, it's several miles away.
Well,
but, you know, it's close enough that you could go look at it.
I know. It was all the talk when we were there in August. So anyway, so what else is heating up? Ha ha ha. Let's go with like bad sexual puns. Talk to us a little bit about your Institute for Conscious Sexuality.
Yeah, well, it's the Institute for Conscious Sensuality.
Sensuality, I apologize.
No, that's okay. A lot of people confuse it. And the reason I say sensuality and not sexuality is because I really want people to get that sexuality is part of a broader field of sensuality. And really what we're doing when we're saying sensuality is we're talking about our senses.
Yeah, yeah.
And what our approach is really rooted in the body awareness and emotional awareness, communication skills. I'm a licensed massage therapist, and I've also been doing counseling work for quite a few years. And really what it is, some people would call it somatic psychology, or people might call it shamanic repatterning. But really these are fancy words for saying helping people to get in touch with what actually is happening in their body, what's happening emotionally, and helping people to communicate in more effective ways so that they have more ease and pleasure and joy In their lives and in their relationships.
Well, it's brilliant, and I apologize because I really believe there is a distinction between sensuality and sexuality that and thank you for correcting me, because that obviously is a difference and is really relevant to what you're doing. So talk to me about what it means. What is the Institute? What do you do?
Yeah, well, we run a number of different courses. We do everything from evening talks and evening events all the way up through month-long leadership training programs. And basically the idea is most people do have a lot of conditioning and, you know, fear, shame, and guilt around sexuality, difficulty in communicating about what they're wanting in relationship, and also sometimes having a hard time really making a connection between their sensuality and their sexuality in the rest of their lives. And we're really looking at, like, okay, what are the actual practical steps, practical ways that you can start to bring more consciousness into your relating and into your relating with yourself, first of all. You know, how do you love yourself? How do you, you know, nurture yourself? And, you know, what are the practices that you may do with a partner to bring more consciousness into your relating? And, you know, it's an unfortunate thing. It's very, very few of us really got any positive role modeling for this when we were kids. And, you know, whenever we first started, you know, having a crush on the boy or the girl next door, whoever it was,
right.
You know, oftentimes we just did not have good patterns. And then oftentimes those patterns persist throughout life, and it really is about taking a step into just saying, okay, well, what is it that I'd actually like to see in my life, in my relationships, in my sensuality and sexuality? And then we actually really go into it and go, like, okay, how are we going to repattern this, and how do we have the experiences so that neurologically we start to have a different experience.
Right, create new neuro pathways. Because, of course, if it's not your parents' well-meaning, you know, because of the way they were raised in the culture or whatever, or religious beliefs that can be very shaming and difficult to overcome. Well, this is wonderful. Now, do you work with couples?
I work with couples. I work with individuals. You know, really irrespective of age, gender, sexual orientation, or relationship style. You know, sometimes people think, oh, you know, all this stuff around sexuality, it's for somebody else because, you know, I really just want to have, you know, a very mainstream, monogamous, you know, long-term relationship. And, you know, and then other people might think, oh, it's only for people
right.
that are already in a long-term monogamous relationship. And really, it doesn't really matter because we're all people and we all want safety, we want love, and we want pleasure. And so, like I said, irrespective of age, gender, orientation, or relationship style, we'll work with people.
Well, I'm hoping that you will share a post with us on The Green Divas, but tell people where they can find out more information about you and the Institute.
Oh, sure. Well, the easiest place is just to go to the website, which is www.consciousensuality.com. And the other website you can take a look at, we've got a festival coming up next month in Hawaii. It's called the Hawaii Tantra Festival, and there's some wonderful teachers coming in from around the globe. That's January 22nd to 25th, and then we're running a series of courses after that, and you can find that at www.HawaiiTantraFestival.com.
Gosh,
so those
yeah.
are two websites to go check out.
So you can explore your sensuality and dance, which is all kind of, you know, connected.
Yeah, I mean, basically we want to help people get into their bodies more.
Yeah.
So we want to, you know, it's music, it's dance, it's yoga. It's not all just this really serious stuff. Yes, there is emotional work to be done.
Right.
And yes, obviously it's a serious subject. But we also like to be light and playful.
Well, yeah.
And have fun.
And find ways to explore all those senses, whether it's the music or motion, right? And
absolutely.
I'm sure there's issues with smell and scent.
Yeah, we also focus a lot. I mean, I'm very connected into the earth here and being a gardener and a permaculture designer.
Yeah.
I really find that when people have a connection with the earth, that really supports people in growth, and it also helps to ground people. And it's like, okay, people are saying, oh, well, you know, I don't really feel very grounded. It's like, well, the earth is right here all the time.
Yeah.
How do you interact with the earth in a way to help ground yourself? And when you're doing deep work with emotions, deep work with sexuality, it's so helpful for you to have some type of relationship, whether you're gardening or you're walking in nature, or even, you know, just meditating in the city, in a park.
Yep.
And just taking time to just connect in and feel the natural rhythms of life on the planet. And just start to feel yourself as an extension of that. And when people do, then their sensuality and sexuality can be a lot more relaxed, not so much pressure on ourselves or on a partner, and just realizing we're just part of the flow of life on the planet, and sexuality is a core part of life on the planet.
Well, it is, yeah.
It's how every, you know, every being is coming through sexuality.
That's right.
Really reclaiming that through nature, that helps, I think, for people to integrate it and to feel much more wholesome about their desire, about their sexual expression, about their pleasure, and realizing, you know, this is such a gift, and it's here for us to create more beauty, you know, and more health on the planet.
Well, that's so beautifully said, and I couldn't agree more. Now, hopefully we'll get back to the Big Island. And we'll have to come see you. So I hope you'll call us again soon.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's my pleasure, and I look forward to showing you around some of my favorite places here in Hawaii.
Thank you, Robert.
You're welcome.
Turned on yet? Well, go to thegreendivas.com. That's T-H-E, greendivas.com. To learn more about this Green Diva's eco-sexy podcast and find other low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green. Give the gift of less carbon pollution this year. A carbon offset represents the reduction of 1 metric ton of carbon dioxide emissions. TerraPass offers carbon offset gift packages that include a unique gift with each purchase. Ideal for environmentalists, travelers, or just those hard-to-shop-for people. Go to TerraPass.com/holiday to feel great about your gift-giving this year.
The Green Divas get to talk to so many inspiring people, who each in their own way is helping us find a deeper shade of green. Here's just one of them. Enjoy.
Well, isn't this timely? We're having an opportunity finally to catch up with the very busy Elena, Christopoulos. Did I do it? Yes. Christopoulos. And she is among many, many cool things that she does. She's an energy consultant. And I noticed that you've worked a lot with politicians and government and helping to advise politicians on policy, which is wonderful. And I'm curious about that. But tomorrow you'll be speaking about International Human Rights Day. And that really was something we kind of keyed in on. So tell us what's going on, Elena.
Yes, well, thank you so much for having me. And it's wonderful to connect to two very busy women trying to make the world a little better is what I think we're doing, one day, taking it one day at a time.
Yeah.
And so thank you for your show, and much success, and it's fantastic.
Thank
so
you.
Tomorrow, I will be a featured speaker celebrating the 66th anniversary of the Human Rights Declaration. And I'll be accompanied with the mayor of Pasadena, which is gentleman, Mayor Bogard.
Uh-huh.
I'll also be speaking on behalf of the board, which I'm on, which is the UN UN chapter in Pasadena. And so together we have a wonderful evening planned, and it all surrounds about really the Universal Declaration of Human Rights,
right.
But also it is the International Year of Light. So we decided to make that a little broader, as we do in the UN, and thought, well, that can be International Year for Light and Light-Based Technologies, if you will, and what that means, both on a local and a global scale.
Yeah, and well, talk for a second. What is it? What does it mean initially, without the broad-based, you know, bringing in the energy? What does it mean, the Year of Light? What are they referring to in general?
So in terms of specifically something we had talked before, it's very broad, but your International Year of the Light, what they do mean is power and energy.
Okay.
And even though there are many people in the developing or so-called developed countries who, for example, like myself, we've got our mission, which is to sit in mind personally, is to save energy, reduce waste, and educate.
Right.
And if I can get that into a jingle, I think I'll sing it all the time.
We can work on that.
I may need your help on that. Thank you. And what that means for in terms of energy, but what that also means in power and how we're drawn together and how we can collaborate on issues around the world.
I love it. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that it's tying into and you know, we've done a couple of different segments about the fact that there are people who don't have electricity in this world, don't have light. Like, seriously, you know, that it's an issue of safety and security and health often, and that we take for granted that we can just flip on a switch.
Yes, yes, that is. It's something that I don't take for granted, but a lot of times I think a lot of us do. We don't really realize what goes on behind the switch, if you will.
Yeah.
What takes place and how the energy travels there and how it gets there. So.
Well, and once you do start to learn, I'll tell you, I run around and turn light switches off all the time. I'm kind of obsessed with that. My kids are like, Mom, we're in the room.
Well, there's some wonderful, and they're quite inexpensive. There's some wonderful sensors out on the market these days, and which actually, of course, as technology is doing so well, and not a promotion of any sensor per se, but they've come such a long way in terms of knowing your habits, right? Knowing when you use your fridge, when you're in a room, when you tend to go to bed, and the lights can change and things like that. It's pretty. Quite amazing.
Well, that's where technology can really help. It can really help reduce energy use, right?
Yes, actually, lighting accounts for almost 20% of one's energy bill. So when people think, even back when I was in school and we had these little recycled pieces of paper which said, remember to turn your lights off and that type of thing. And I think most people, when they're coming back from school, just didn't think about what that meant. But for me, I grew up in Europe, so my background's quite different in terms of lighting, in terms
right.
of how I saw the world and how I still see the world.
Right.
So.
Now, where did you grow up in Europe?
So I'm born to descent of a Greek father and a German mother. So almost have a UN meeting every time we have a family dinner.
Well, Christopoulos does seem a little Greek, but I wasn't going to be presumptuous. And you know.
Yes, and you know, the Phalbus, the part of growing up in both Greece and Germany was seeing two very different cultures and assuming all assumptions were off at a very young age.
Yeah.
And you know, so I really. From, I guess, since I was born to 13, what I really learned was I had an appreciation of our land and what that meant because we had farms, which were farms and not organic farms. They were simply farms.
Yeah.
Everyone knew what was not sprayed on them.
Right.
Everyone,
right.
You know. So when you grow up as a child knowing where your food comes from, and I eat meat,
yeah.
but you know, so I knew exactly what was going into the meat, how they were fed, etc. I also had a huge appreciation of the water we drank, being yeah. around bodies of water and seeing the discoloration at a young age, mm-hmm. and also an appreciation of the air and the difference in that. So when I came to Canada at 13, I went back and forth quite a lot, but it's quite different visiting and living in a place. So
yeah.
I have to kind of, you know, remind myself also what lens am I looking at a situation? Is mm-hmm. it, you know, is it my European background, my Canadian background, or now my U.S. as well? So kind of have to touch base with myself and find out really what that all means.
You don't even need to have a family reunion to do the U.N. thing. It's just you.
It's my one-woman show. Yes, that's exactly it.
a global gal. And I love that you're bringing your perspective through, you know, your energy consulting, through these kinds of speaking engagements, helping to highlight, you know, sappy, but true, but helping to highlight certain issues around things like human rights and basically the right to have energy and light and safety, you know.
Yes. And that's exactly, it's what light also does mean. It means safety, and safety for all women and girls around the world as well. So that's another interpretation of what light does mean.
I've learned so much doing what we're doing here and talking to people like you about issues where, you know, like water. It never occurred to me that water could be an issue of safety for women who have to walk miles and miles. Yes. In vulnerable yes. territory where they, yes. you know, are often, in, you know, vulnerable to being, you know, raped or robbed or killed. And I mean, I'm like, really? Oh, that's just really upsetting. and there I go into the kitchen and turn on my water, you know. And
But I
now do think more when I turn on my light about where this energy is coming from, about what it's doing to the planet. What is the impact of this light being on, and what is the impact of this water that I'm drinking? Even though we seem to be flush with water, that's another bad pun, isn't it? With water, there are people, places in the country. I think you're in California. I could be wrong, but I think you said Pasadena. And I mean, you guys are having a serious drought out there.
And it's approximately now. It's probably gone up, but that's going to cost the states farmers $6 billion for that. So that's, and it's rising, right? So, you know, I notice it. I do eat organic. I notice it when the fruits and vegetables taste different, and not even just going to farms, but actually just even going to my local Whole Foods, and the gentleman there saying, Elaine, I wouldn't really get it today because you're not going to taste a tomato today. It's just not going to happen. So
that's sad. And what is this thing about avocados? Like they take so much water that seriously, we're like jerks if we eat avocados. I'm very sad about that.
Yes, they do. They do take, unless you have a backyard or an area which is fed through swells and through water and through other ways, then they do consume a lot of water. So,
and yes, I live in New Jersey, so I honestly, my brother has an amazing, amazing green thumb, and he just shoves things in dirt and they grow. And he gave me, because his wife has actually like ordered him to get rid of some of his babies. So I have this avocado tree that he started in a pot, and it's like, you know, 3 or 4 years old, which is kind of amazing for an avocado tree. So I'm growing an avocado tree right now in my bedroom because it's the warmest place. And I'm like, really? Well, maybe I can get an avocado out of my avocado tree. That's the closest I'm going to get here in New Jersey. But it does, you know, those kinds of things and learning those things, it makes it difficult when you're a conscious human being, and I think – you are, and that's why we do what we do, to help raise people's awareness. But it makes it hard, you know, because I really like avocados.
And you're not a jerk to not love to have avocados. It's, you know, it's, we all, you know, we can get into that, well, how we all work and what we all do. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of it, too, is, you know, awareness.
Yeah.
You know, some of the things talking about Year of the Light with Pasadena is also what can we do for next year for the holiday season, and that it's that reminds people about saving energy, cutting waste, and educating. So without with a message. So, mm-hmm. for example, you know, places that I've worked in around the world, we've had in Spain what we did for the Christmas or holiday lights, we used existing street lamps, and we just covered them with a nice gold metallic chain.
Nice.
So, right? So really easy, and I'm not an artsy, crafty person, but just something that they looked like beautiful sculptures, and they were great for both day and night, and it's there's nothing needed except using the existing what's there. So little things like that, you know, there's also, I was involved in, I saw in Lithuania, they actually have erected a holiday tree, which they used 40,000 recycled green bottles and zip ties.
You know, Lithuania, I'm telling you, this is the second time in this show that we're putting together that Lithuania has come up as like a really cool place that is honoring human rights, really green. I mean, like, aren't they like amazingly, don't they have some high percentage of renewable energy already?
Yes, yes, overall, yes. So they're almost a net positive country, which meaning that they almost are self-sufficient. So they're quite up there, yes.
Yeah, and, well, and, they're on my list of places I got to go now.
But it's, yes, and it's those kinds of things in which people, it's a beautiful sculpture, and people don't automatically see a tree of plastic bottles, but they see recycled green bottles, and then they realize, okay, this actually is the amount of waste, or you know, there's an education compact without the guilt, right? It's also it's a reminder of the little things, like people who have their Starbucks mug, and little things that can change. Instead of taking that mug or getting that plastic, you can use.
Well, you know, and that's what us green divas are all about. You know, I believe that beating people over the head with guilt, you know, the polar bears are dying and it's your fault, it's just like, it's such a bummer and it's so overwhelming that it makes me not want to do anything.
Yes.
So we try to, you know, give people real good information, and then here's a couple of solutions. Here's something you can do. You don't have to be perfect. Just do something.
Right. And, you know, I have to say, when I was putting, with everything that's going on in the news right now, if one watches it, it can be quite depressing at this moment, right? And I feel we're at a tipping point. So, you know, as I was writing the presentation, and usually it flows, and but I really had a block. And so I recalled on a trip I went to Iceland, and I realized I needed not the uplifting story, but I met with the president there, and, you know, Iceland not too long ago were not in the greatest shape after the economic collapse, right? So they've actually rebuilt one of the most powerful green economies known around the world.
There's another place. Like, who would have known that they were, like, so smart and amazing?
Right. And most people still have written them off as, you know, economic collapse or whatnot, but it's really, and it's from the top down, right? The president, he really, Olafur really got behind people and really empowered people, right? So it wasn't, you know, they were in financial straits, completely bankrupt country. So to be able to come back and say, okay, we are going to have a green power economy, and this is what we're going to, there are things we're going to do, you know.
Well, it's not like President Obama isn't trying. I mean, it seems like that's his intention. I don't know how far he'll get, but, oh, man.
And that's, it's, you know, I think with the EPA, with the Greenies, with things that are going on just in your back, like, for example, today I found out, and I didn't know this, and in Santa Monica they're looking to drill in Hermosa Beach.
Oh my gosh, you're kidding.
Yes.
That's bizarre.
No. And so I only happened to know about it because a friend of mine is on Santa Monica City Council who's opposing it.
Well, good.
So, yes, but that's only one person.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, and the thing is, with places like, if you start drilling in Santa Monica Bay, I mean, oil knows no boundaries, right? So, I mean, and already we've got Santa Monica Bay quite polluted and toxic as it is. So that's just going to, you know, it's little things. So it's, as, you know, beyond the guilt, it's also you know, first I thought, oh, I don't know about this. How do I not know? As opposed to, okay,
yeah,
I'm going to call my friend who's supporting this, get the word out, and then how can others help or how can I help?
Yeah, but, and, you know, you just keep us posted because we'll also do our part. Because I do think working on that grassroots local level, even though I'm here in New Jersey, you know, you told me something that I think can have an impact on everybody if we help. Every community, like the first community, and I can't, whether it was San
yes.
Francisco that banned plastic, you know, and then it
yes.
ripples out.
Yes.
So
yes.
I love it, and keep us posted. I hate to have to shut us down, but, you know, because I could talk to you all day, apparently. but and I just admire so much the work you're doing, and I'm looking forward to hearing more as things progress.
Oh, well, thank you, and I will keep you especially advised about some interesting projects going on, not just in California, but throughout. And, you know, on behalf of the UN, really the message is, you know, it's not about you, it's about giving others a hand. And
yeah.
that's what we hope to accomplish at tomorrow, you know, exciting evening. And just to see what's next for, I mean, I don't know the last time, I think it was the 90s for me, but it was this easy to get the mayor and the utility company in the same room. So who knows what's going to come out of that event tomorrow.
It's
so
a Christmas miracle. Thank you.
I think Charlie Brown will be there. Yes,
I know, right?
He will be there. Yes,
thank you
yes.
so much, Elena.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me on your show, and much, much success to you.
Oh, thank you.
Hope you enjoyed that as much as they did. Please visit thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. For more fun podcasts and information on the Green Divas and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green. You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Show. Be sure to look for this and other Green Diva Network podcasts on iHeartRadio, Stitcher, iTunes, Swell Radio, and Spreaker. Get social with the Green Divas on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Subscribe to the Green Divas YouTube channel to watch them in action. And for all the latest good green news, visit thegreendivas.com. That's THEGreenDivas.com.